All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. We are recapping the championship game, which went exactly as planned. Correct, Josh? Is that how we play this thing out?
I think so.
Some people did. I do. It was a game. MWR.com, you can check all of our stuff out. We put up, this probably be dated and not accurate, but bowl projections are out, the final one. And no, we're not going to discuss too much about the top four because the playoff ranking show, which no Mountain West team will be ranked. And it'll take, let's see, we're recording 11:47 Mountain Time. It probably won't be released till 5 p.m. Mountain Time, I'm guessing. Exaggerating, but who cares?
I'm kidding. They should be releasing it in the next half hour or so.
Still, this show is a five-hour show. Nobody, like you said, everybody turned away at 11 a.m. Mountain Time to go watch the NFL when the top four is relaxed. But we're not talking about that. Are you ready for the Mountain West title game? Do you want to gloat about your one projection that was correct?
We were asked to make bold predictions, and we can argue about whether or not it was a bold prediction.
I say it is.
I said 5+ combined turnovers.
Congratulations. Right. Hey, there were exactly 5, right?
Yeah, there were exactly 5.
So that was
Boise 3 by UNLV.
There was also our buddy, put out a 50-yard pass play. Got that. I was close in picking a trick play goes disastrous and wrong. There was a flea flicker that was successful, and the UNLV player had a similar play but decided not to throw it. I'm like, throw it! And he did not. I'm like, oh, man. Because that could have been something. But the game is...
He did think about it.
He did. I'm like, ooh, if you're thinking about it, just run, dude. Just run the ball or throw it away. But it being a blowout for Boise State with a... This game was interesting for a lot of reasons. Trying to think of how I'm going to phrase this by sounding proper, but it doesn't matter. This game wasn't really that close, honestly. Way more points than we thought. We were correct in saying, like, Ricky White would do his thing. Ashton Gentry would do his thing. Taylen Green, who cares how many interceptions he has? Let's start with him, because Mason Maddox, whatever his name is, got hurt. And
yeah.
When they had two last names, I guess. I don't know. Trying to figure out how to say sometimes one of those things. But having Taylen Green hit, like, he came out, had the, like, interception, comes back a big play, big running play. I felt he was playing, like, not with nothing to lose, but he was no fear of being benched. So I wonder if he was just kind of letting it rip out there. Because with Avalos, it was rotating, like, in between, within a single series, they'd switch the quarterbacks around.
Yeah, it sucks that he had to get surgery, but I think that was honestly the best thing that could have happened to Boise, along with the firing, you know, because you're right, it allowed Taylen Green to calm down, allowed him to focus in and not have to worry about, am I going to get pulled?
Yeah, and he had that huge 70-yard run play, which was amazing, right after reception. He's very efficient. Like, clearly we know what Boise wanted to do. They ran 51 rush plays to 15 pass plays. UNLV couldn't stop it. Rebels, like, they were doing, like, Jonathan Baldwin did his best he could. Jackson Woodward did the best they could with about 20 combined tackles. But once they started running, like, with Gentry, like, he could not be stopped. And George Shawnee had as many carries, wasn't near as efficient, half a yard to Campbell in play. But he was there to give Gentry a little break here or there. But this game's 14-7. It's like, okay, going down the field, touchdown. They're going back and forth. They get to pick 6. There's a fumble that leads to a touchdown. Interception leads to a field goal. The turnover things were a big deal, clearly, because it wasn't just that, but there was at least 10 points off turnovers for Boise State and only 7 for UNLV.
I think I said it in our preview that Boise needed to play ball control, and they did. You know, they held the ball for 37 minutes, but UNLV only had it for 23. They were able to contain UNLV at times, too, because, I mean, they only had 81 yards rushing. They forced them to throw, and I mean, he did okay. You know, they went 18 of 38. Actually, I should say they did okay. You know, they were 18 to 38 for 217 yards. And, you know, while Ricky White got his, I mean, they held him in check pretty much. You know, we only had 6 catches for 86 yards, no touchdowns. So,
Rebel, yeah, he got his, like I mentioned, it's the 2 guys, Jacob and Ricky. That's it, 6 each. They did kind of their thing. But they couldn't get a ground game going. Boise's defense, we know, is really good, only 20 points. And it is because interim coach, defensive coordinator, was firing them up the whole game. They made only 8-5, and they get this win. But they came out firing, like, the first 3 drives were touchdowns. You have to pick 6. They didn't care. They had the Was that the 70-yard? Yeah, no, that was the deep pass play, like to Austin Bolt. Like they came out and scored on their first four possessions a touchdown. UNLV's defense couldn't do anything, and they scored on two. Look at those first drives. Like they were all under 10 plays, and it's three-play touchdown drive, one-play touchdown drive. There was nothing. This was over before halftime. Did you think at any point Rebels would come back when they're down 31-17? Or when they're even down like 31-20, I didn't think they're coming back after that field goal.
No, the closest I thought it was going to be, it was 21-14, and they were driving down the field, but they fumbled, and then it turned into, you know, the very next play was the Taylor Green 70-yard run. I think that's when I thought it was over for me.
Same here, because, okay, they get the pick six, great. They go down and they scored, they go trade plays, the pick six, all right, they're tied the game. Boise goes down, scores quick, then fumble. They're saying, like, when Maeva fumbled, he's not holding the ball right. Or, like, the guy came in and knocked the ball. The ball just came loose. It wasn't even, maybe it wasn't holding tight enough, but it wasn't like a helmet or a punch to get the ball out. He just was sidestepping and lost the ball there. And,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a thing of, do you think there's any truth to, like, oh, they, Boise's been in bigger games? Like, no Rebel player on this roster has been in any game close to this magnitude.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just Boise was able to make more plays. I think the way UNLV was just treating this like a normal game based on what I saw, and Boise was just able to make more plays.
Yeah, and which they did. Like, Green only had three incompletions. Like, Genty was tearing it up. Like, it was... Like, this is what, like, what, where was this team all year? Was Andy Avalos really holding them back with this situation?
He might have been.
Because when we look at what they've done the past couple weeks, like, you have the losses. Okay, you lose to Washington, whatever. UCF on a jump, we talked about before, super long field goal. Memphis, a weird blocked field goal. They could be a 10-win team for those two games alone. But
The
past month, they've been... Basically, New Mexico doesn't matter, but after the Fresno loss, he's already fired. They've been playing quite well five of the past 6 weeks. Though I think, like, it's kind of fluky, so it's going back, like, Avalos being fired, and we'll mention that. Like, his dad posted on social media, I'm like, what are you doing? He's a complete jerk as well for what he mentioned about. It's his team, coach, kid's son team, whatever. It's like, get out of here. But they had, like, three fluky things happen. Like, this team, and you play how it goes, because you think about it, like I mentioned, including this your CSU game, the Hail Mary to Dallin Holker caught in the end zone. This team could literally be 11-2. Right? Like,
yeah.
And even the Fresno game was only one score loss. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. But that's what I'm thinking. Like, over, like, where was this team? Like, it was kind of there all year. And I'm not saying it looks like Avalos deserved to be let go. But if they had every bad break going against them, except for, like, this particular game against UNLV. They got breaks, but took advantage of opportunities they had in prior games. They did not. Because they were trailing versus Fresno as well. Actually, no, they were winning a half. Yeah, they're trailing and came back. It's okay. Didn't get the win there. But I do wonder what necessarily changed. And it was just fluky. Like, they have fluke losses throughout the year. And I'll say they're fluky. 57-yard field goal. Hail Mary. Block field goal to lose. This team's probably better than 8-5 record. They showed it on Saturday, but just... thrashing the Rebels, who looked decent at times. I don't know. They looked okay, but not really. They couldn't hold on the ball, and that's probably and penalty-wise, too. Not great.
Yeah, I mean, you could realistically make the case for this Boise team being 11-1 because all of their losses except for the Washington game were all by one score. So I think they finally got out of their own heads, I think, with the Avalos hire, with the firing of Avalos. You know, they were able to correct some things, and I think it just worked out the way they wanted.
It did. And what's the coaching search look like? Because they're keeping everything quiet. Like, there's literally.
I think they need to stay with, just based on the response that they've gotten. And, like, I know they say all the players like the interim coaches and they should just hire them, but I truly think with the way the team has responded that Spencer Danielson should be the next Boise head coach.
Because who's better than him out there? Like, there could be, like, there are better coaches, honestly. And also, we should note this, he became the first interim coach in FBS history to win a conference title. So, there's that as well. And he called like a great game. I know we're watching, but did you see the part in between third and fourth quarter? They're up big. He's still pumping everybody up, yelling at them, going crazy. Like, he wanted them to finish this game, and they won the fourth quarter 3-0.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely one of the things is, like, while I know he was the DC, I feel like he can evolve into that CEO type of head coach, you know, as long as he brings in the right you know, he may want to have his say in the defense, but and I am the CSU guy, so I'm always going to compare stuff to CSU, but I think, like, with Norvell not being able to, you know, hand off the plays like he wants to, I think that's what's holding him back. And as long as, you know, if Hiram and he doesn't do that, I think Boise has a chance to take that next step back to the top of the mountain.
They do. And, like, back to this game as well, UNLV, it's – I know they went to Doug Brumfield. Might have got a little banged up at the end. Like, oh, maybe Brumfield could do something. But there are also a lot of drop passes in this game. Like, Maeva was trying to – basically pull Brett Favre for a lot of these situations. Like, so many passes that were literally right there, like, but super duper tight. Like, he had guys double teamed right at the top, but the guy's hands were right. There's one catch, if I recall, should have had a tight end. And then they make, like, the pick six. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, remember that the tight end against the DB? He's like, and who ended up, did my guy get defensive player of the game? Was I correct on that? Who won defensive player of the game?
Alexander Tubner.
No, I did not pick him. Who got to pick six then? Who was it? McCoy, that's right. Amaron. Oh, no, not a pick six. The big interception. That's
Fred Tompkins.
No, that was – sorry, I was thinking Boise State side. Sorry. Playing the tight end. Amari McCoy. Amarion McCoy. Yeah.
But I thought it was Andrew Simpson.
Was that the 1 yard? I thought he went for a big game. Regardless of whoever it was, there's too many turnovers. But the play where they had the tight end running a weird route – do you remember that play?
Yeah.
They made a good point. It's like, why is he running some curl route or something where you got a guy who's like, you got a foot on him, it seems like, because tight ends are huge compared to the DB. Now, I don't recall. It was one of the two. I thought he made a 20-yard run. But they make a bad throw. Maeva is like, what, he's throwing, like, if you have the tight end, what is it, like, 3rd and 5 or something? Go and play basketball and box the guy out and throw it to you right there. Why are you trying to throw that route? The DB had no illusion. He was getting beat downfield by the lumbering tight end. He just sat there, the ball came, jumped and took it, and got the interception. So, like, there's plays like that where you're a new quarterback, which Maeva was, and you're playing against experienced guys. And think, too, like, I was wrong, because I was thinking the Boise secondary hasn't been very good this year. That's where maybe they could beat them, and that clearly was not the case. Like, Maeva was under 50%, 2 picks. But he was trying too hard, which is fine. He wants to win the game for you. But there are a lot of throws where maybe the receivers could have caught him, but there's such direct area where it was just nearly impossible. Like, they weren't off target for the most part. Some of these throws, some were, but some of the ones I'm thinking of that were just right there, they were just in such a tight window. It was a perfect throw where everything had to go just right where the guy technically was open, but it's just so hard to catch those. And sometimes you gotta wait half a second, make sure the guy's open. Or then there's the play where he was supposed to – do you remember also there's a play, too, where the guy was going to – I think it's the end of the game. The game was already over. But receiver was going to clear out. Maybe – I don't remember if it was Brumfield or Maeva. But the guy was trying to clear out the middle on, I think it's 4th and long. Or 3rd and long, they had to freaking punt it. Where the guy is going down the middle to open up underneath. He's not even looking. The ball goes through and just hits him in the helmet. Remember that play? Like, down the middle of the field. He's basically clearing it out to have more underneath him to take a safety and a DB. He had no intention of getting the ball. And yes, while he's open, I guarantee his thing was, all right, go deep and then maybe hang out there just in case, like, there's a scramble drill to go back and forth. But again, just clear the field out. And the ball just throws him. So it's like, there's some lack of communication, it seemed like, in some of these things. But regardless, like, the way they played wasn't great, but still, 9-4 Rebel team, this is their best team literally forever, except when Randall Cunningham was in town. This is an accomplishment to hail high above their heads.
I will say that I felt like Maeva was trying to force things when they saw that the running game wasn't being as efficient and, you know, making those freshman mistakes, trying to force things in there, trying to spark this offense to something. You know, like, I can't fault him for that, but he needs to learn to take what the defense gives him, and I felt like he was trying to force things too much.
Man, why did Jet Thomas have one carry this game? What was up with that?
Like, I guess it's just the way
they win. I don't know.
Brendan Marion, what are you doing?
I'm just wondering, because we looked before the game, like Vincent Davis, Donovan Lester, Jet Thomas, Courtney Reese, all these guys have the amount of carries they got per game or for the season. There wasn't a huge difference. Like, they, well, yes, I believe Vincent Davis was their guy, but I'm looking here at what they did all season long for splitting the carries. It was relatively balanced, and they were not balanced in this game. Maybe they thought, well, but Davis can't do it. Because you had Davis, 132, Jet Thomas, 108. I'm assuming this is after the title game. Lester, 95, and Courtney Reese, 59. So not a huge difference, like a little bit, but not like a huge gap where this is the Vincent Davis show, and that's it, and that's what it was. It didn't go well. And so I don't know what was up with that either. If he's not working, give it to somebody else. That's my thought.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
But again, like the way everything was going. Did you have, okay, before the game, like all of our score, we should pull up that to the score predictions because we were all wildly wrong.
I said 27-21, so I was wrong.
Hey, I think everybody's wrong. Nobody thought 44 points because Rebels defense has been solid all year. And Maeve has been playing well. And we knew there was... Also, you know what's annoying? UNLV had chances. How many times on the kick returns, they got two past midfield and got nothing out of it? Like, there were opportunities. I'm not saying to win, but there were opportunities where this should not have been a blowout. They get the ball past midfield on kick returns. The one that bounced on the ground and picked up and ran for a big... I think one was a kick return. I'm not sure if the other was a punt. But switching fields and going back and getting past midfield multiple times and you get barely anything out of it... That's also a problem with your offense. Like, their offense just stalled out, and they had their special teams help them to be in this game, or at least be closer to the final outcome, because maybe that was 10 more points. It could have been 44-30 or something, something more respectable than getting your butt kicked. Because that's... The offense just wasn't good. That's all I could say about it. Like, the offense was one of the worst all season.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was the one sack that knocked them out of field goal range, too.
Oh, that's right.
They couldn't help themselves.
Yeah, so look, let's go over some fun stuff we did. So, what was the over-under? 58.5? It blew past that, right?
Yeah.
So you got that. Let's see who's right. Who got that right? I was right. Oh, you're wrong. Sorry, Josh. Unfortunately, you missed the under. Score prediction. You took the under.
I know. I thought the defenses were going to be a little bit better.
Well, one defense was. So who's the closest correct in this game? I'm trying to see here. Me and Colin had 34 points for Boise. No, Brandon had 35. He was the closest. He had 68 total points. Man, nobody's really all that close in the total points for this game. I had 34-28. You had for Boise.
I had 27-21.
Yeah, not...
I think... I think Eric was probably the closest.
Yeah, for point differential, 36-24. Michael had...
But technically, Colin was better.
I guess point differential, yeah. It was, scores. I think at this point here, everybody thought UNLV might figured Boise wouldn't score as many points. And UNLV got kind of about what they thought they would be for the most part, outside of Michael going 41 points for the Rebels. He had but also, like, UNLV had a pick six in this game to, like, they only had 13 offensive points.
Mm-hmm.
MVP, nobody got Talen Green, right? Unfortunately. We all got that wrong. Your George Halani deep pull did not come close at all. Sorry, not to pile on, Josh, but just say it here.
I got the bold prediction right. That's all that matters.
You and Michael got a bold prediction right. That's good. That's like worth 10 points, right?
Yeah.
And defensive MVP. It was defensive MVP? Was it Ahmad? The other guy.
It was Tubner.
Dang it. I got that wrong. Nobody got that right. Okay. Let's see here. Underrated player who made an impact in the game. Let's see. Stephen Cobbs.
My pick was out because he didn't play.
Okay. And they still loved out Stephen Cobbs. I guess Lamar's pretty close for Jacob DeHusser. He got with in the six catches and big special teams game. So that's close. Who had an interception? Who had to pick six? Who was that? Do you recall off the top of your head? I'm trying to see here.
They only had one interception, so it was Fred Tompkins.
Okay, so now we got that right. I was looking because who was it? Let's see. Matt had Marcel McDuffie. I had Amarion McCoy. Did he do anything in this game? Particular special? Did he get an interception? Yeah, that counts. I got a pick, right? There we go. I got something right on this. Under the radar player. Wild predictions. Let's read through these and sell wrong order because this is always fun. Mine was a trick play that goes horribly wrong and results in turnover. There were a couple trick plays. Like we mentioned before, the Boise flea flicker. UNLV tried it, kind of, but didn't throw, so I didn't win that one, which is okay. Matt had Jet Thomas' longest play from scrimmage. He had 1 yard.
Nope.
Not close at all, right?
Nope.
No fake punt. Brandon had a good one. Fake punt for a touchdown for UNLV. No. You had 5 plus turnovers. Good job. Congratulations. Phil went really bold. 28 unanswered points by UNLV. Not even close. Sorry.
Nope.
Hold on. For the Rebels, who scored? Was it a linebacker who scored? What position does he play?
Because
we have one that's in consideration. What's for a top?
Linebacker.
Oh, so close. Eric had an offensive/defensive lineman to score a touchdown. Does he get half a point? Because it's not close. It's not a Texas situation. You saw the Texas play, right? The big guy with the touchdown.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Does the Heisman pose was it number 90 in the end zone?
I think it was 90 or 93. I don't remember.
So he was close. UNLV wins on a Hail Mary. No, sorry. Jaden Maven, 400 yards passing. Not even close. special teams touchdown and kick block. That was didn't happen, but there was a good special teams play by UNLV. So that's our bold prediction. So we got to be bold for a reason. We got 2 out of 10, right? That's not bad.
Yeah.
Anything else about the Rebels? Like, what's going on here for them? Like, are we looking at them as a team that can continue this if they keep Barry Odom and everybody around? Because I want more different teams to be in the championship game and win these things. I don't want just the same old teams every year.
Well, it depends, because there's a little bit breaking news out of El Paso.
No! Is Brendan Marion going to be the UTEP head coach? Don't tell
me. He's interviewing in person today.
Don't go to UTEP, please. Give it to Jeff Grimes. He interviewed from Baylor. Let him go be the UTEP coach. Do not go to UTEP. I know it's your first head coaching gig. Please, no. Don't go to UTEP. No.
There's some other news, too.
No! Why are you killing me, man?
Hold on.
What's
going on here? No, this one is New Mexico.
Please, if you tell me it's Gary Patterson, I will punch the wall right now.
No. Bryant Vincent is in discussions to be the next head coach of ULM.
What? ULM? No! I was clapping for it. No! You tricked me with that. No!
Louisiana Monroe.
Roger, tell your guys to get in line and hire Vincent to be that coach. What? This is killing me, John. What's going on here? No.
I mean, to be fair, Vincent was the UAB OC too.
I know he's down there, but you have a guy who's shown reasonably good stuff within New Mexico. He got 4 wins. Yep. He helped the offense. They were good. Like, one of the running back is one of the best in the conference, clearly. I guess if we're doing the coaching news, should we mention Ken Wilson has finally relieved his duties to the praise of everybody? 4-20 after 2 years?
Found the money.
Hey, they waited to reduce the money. They're like, okay, we got $1 million here. I know 500K is not nothing, but when you're these leagues, conferences in the Mountain West, it is something, $500,000. So they fired him.
It was still $1 million buyout.
It was. So he's gone after, what do you have, a 16-game losing streak, winless in conference year before, zero offensive identity outside of, like, Sean Dollars and one other guy in defense that he's supposed to be known for.
Yep.
Also, one thing I didn't realize, I knew he was at UNM, Reno before. Did you realize he's there forever, like in the late 80s with Chris Ault?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he's there that long. I knew he's there before. When I was looking up, writing a quick article about him, about them moving on, I didn't realize he was there for so long before he took a few other jobs out west. So what are they going to do? Because Chris Murray at Nevada Sportsnet put 30 candidates out there. 30 candidates.
Okay, I will say that it's too much, but I will add a caveat here.
Look at everything you can.
Well, hold on. Going back to CSU before they hired Chandler Bell, I put out an article on the site listing all the candidates that had been mentioned, and there were like 27 different candidates.
Mm-hmm.
However, the only difference is my list came from like 6 different sources.
Mm-hmm.
Murray, you cannot put 30 people in one article.
Okay, here's a couple names on there. I'll read it. Manny Diaz, not coming. You don't want Manny Diaz as head coach anyways. He's not coming. Justin Fuente, not coming. Oh, here's what he says, too. This isn't – okay, let's make sure we're clear on what he's written. This isn't these 30 guys are in consideration. These 30 guys are reported to be wanting the job. These are guys, if you want, these people are available. So head coaching experience. So Manny Diaz was at, Miami, Texas, D.C. He got fired when Taysom Hill beat the crap out of Texas a decade ago. He got fired from that. BYU beat them. Justin Fuente, yeah, Memphis, Virginia Tech, whatever. Do you want Brian Harsin to be anywhere near any program in the Mountain West since he literally said the conference sucks?
I don't know. I mean, he's a hard ass, but he can win.
I don't know, man. I don't want that guy. Bobby Houck, pass. Jerry Kill is interesting, right?
Did you know CSU had a chance to hire him?
Jerry Kill?
Yeah.
When? Last time?
When Steve Fairchild, when we hired Steve Fairchild as the head coach. It was down to those two.
Where was he before, Minnesota?
Something like that.
Because yeah. I know he stepped down for health reasons.
Yeah, he had like the seizures or whatever.
Yes, and so he may, that's not a bad, that may not be bad, but that's always a concern. Brocco Mendenhall, I don't know about that. He's a guy who infamously hates recruiting. and left Virginia because of NIL. Gary Patterson even times 10 that. Do you want Nick Rolovich coming back to the conference? Do you want that sideshow?
I mean, as long as he doesn't fucking mention it, I don't care.
Yeah. Like him fighting all that stuff, it's like, dude, get over it. It's like you're fired for a reason for being a dummy. Mike Sanford Jr., okay, maybe.
So he's a high school coach in Colorado.
He is right now? I didn't know he's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not. He's didn't. Eh. Kevin Sumlin. Not going to happen, but I'd love that hire. That'd be amazing. I don't think
if he wants to get back into coaching, I could see it.
He's currently with Maryland staff Mike Locksley. Their offense is going pretty well. What he did to Arizona. And he was.
Well, hold on. Sumlin just did get arrested for DUI like a month ago.
He did, or?
Someone did.
I don't know if it's him. Oh, my gosh. No, it was Kevin Sumlin?
Yeah.
All right. See you later. Go hang out with the death pool of Maryland coaches like DJ Durkin somehow who got to keep his job. I'm going to laugh. Okay, I'm going to list one here before I laugh at the next one. Matt Wells, which
maybe.
I don't think
wouldn't be a bad choice.
I don't think he should have left Utah State. He took a job because a better job in Texas Tech. And he did not realize. Also, I don't blame him for taking the job. I blame the AD. I don't even know who it is or who it was at the time to bring in a guy where they all want just Texas guys to be your head coach. Even though he was doing well at Texas Tech, I think he's at he's an Oklahoma analyst right now. You want to give it? Did you read this article? Am I giving you news that you already know, or did you go through all these names yet?
I No, I mean, I read some of them. I just don't remember all
of them.
Did
you see the former NFL head coach?
Who?
John Gruden! What is
no
he?
No way he's come to college. No. Especially not at Nevada.
Does he have land in Reno? That's all I think. Oh, yeah, he owns a home in Tennessee. He owns a home here. He owns something there. Like, what is it? I don't know what he's doing here. And then there's some random, a lot of SES coaches. Jay Hill would be good, but I don't know if he would leave from BYU as their DC. That would be an amazing hire if they could get him. He's at Weber State, took him to the playoffs, exciting offense when he was
not
there.
Not for Nevada.
What do you mean?
He's not leaving for that job.
No, I'm just saying, like, if he wants to be head coach.
I mean, does he want to be a head coach bad enough to pass up resources?
I don't know. He left. Well, FCS to FBS is different, but no, I'm just saying
It did leave for BYU, though.
Yeah, and he was at Utah before. He was at Utah before he went to be the DC or the head coach at Weber State. And now he's at BYU, and they did okay. If you want to be head coach, sure, but I don't know. I like that a lot. This list again is not. I don't think this is any serious list. Like, to be fair, like, this isn't these guys kicked the program. These are guys he's just saying, here's if they want these type of coaches out there. Here's who could be, because like Andy Ludwig. I don't want Andy Ludwig. Like, I know he's the offensive coordinator of my University of Utah Utes. We had a guy on our radio show last week. It was Stevenson Sylvester, who played for Utah, went to NFL for a couple years. It was really good in college. Because Ludwig went to Utah twice. He was there when he won the Sugar Bowl. And then he went – there's a reason he's been OC at Fresno, Oregon, Cal, Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, San Diego State. He's never been head coach. I remember two things. I worked with a guy who was a center for – I don't think the Sugar Bowl year, but one of the year, like maybe the year before or something. I'm trying to remember which one it was. He'd basically be the Winkler character on Waterboy, where he basically loses his mind, like, let's run our play. Let's pretend. Here's a play. And we'll do a reverse, but we'll fake to reverse. No, you pretend to fake, then you really fake. He would run, like, on 3rd and 1, the longest developing play ever, like an end around reverse when it's like 4th and 1 or 3rd and 1. I'm like, he's doing okay right now, but there's a reason he's not a head coach. I would not want him to be a head coach. Ryan Grubb's not going to Nevada. Spencer Danielson, please. He's not going there. Like, this list, Kirby Moore, no. Aaron Roderick, that's even less of BYU going to Nevada. You know what I mean? I'd like that hire, too. He has actually, no, the offense hasn't been that great, but he's had some decent players. But this list is – oh, okay, hold on. I'm just reading this list because this is hilarious. You want to put who's not? If you were to think, Josh, the not happening list, wouldn't John Gruden be on the not happening list, right?
Yes.
You want to see who's on the not happening list?
I remember Chris Ault being one.
Yeah, he pulled a big one on big time on me on this to read through the whole thing. Chris Ault.
Nick Saban.
You're close, Jimbo Fisher. Chris Peterson.
He's not coming out of retirement. He'd only come out of retirement for Boise.
Guess he's wearing his Boise.
School, he'd come out of
did you see he was wearing yesterday? His Boise Nike quarter zip.
Yeah, they were interviewing him.
I know, during the booth. And then Tony Reno, because Tony Reno is always mentioned up because he's the Yale head coach and his last name's Reno. This list, sorry, this is just throwing crap out there just to screw around, and he got us. If we're being realistic about Nevada, like what? Who would want this job? We know resources aren't great. They like basketball better when they think they're better than what they are. Like, what type of coach could they legitimately get? Like, what if he's putting this real quick? If he's putting this list out there, why is Brendan Marion not on the list? Right.
That would be.
Oh no! Oh, sorry. He is on the list. I skipped past him. I apologize. I was laughing too hard at Andy Ludwig and went past and Ryan Grubb. Sorry, he is on the list. So no, there we go.
No, that, what they should do is they should pony up and outbid UNLV for Barry Odom.
They can't. They have no money. Nevada has no money. So seriously, what type of coach do they want to get? Because they want defensive coach, former assistant. Where did Jay Norvell come before? Was he Arizona State before?
Or Oklahoma or something. I think it was Arizona State, yeah.
So when we're looking at the conference, what type of coach would fit to do well? To me, it has to be a first-time coach.
I mean, it has to be a first-time coach who's going to take a cheap contract or – Danny Gonzalez on the same contract he was in New Mexico.
Oh, boy. Do you want some guy who runs offense? Because they were literally bad at everything this year.
I mean, it depends on which way they want to go.
I don't know, man. It's like Devontae Williams, possibly. I don't know. That could be interesting. He was UCS interim coach in 2021. That's a possibility. It's a bad spot, man. Is this, like, when we look at the conference, is it New Mexico and Nevada's like the worst jobs in the league?
Nevada's worst.
Well, I mean, but those two, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, this list, he got me big time going through this list, reading the whole thing. But John Gruden, like, what do you, it's because there's Raider fans in Reno. That's why, right? It has to be the reason. It can't be that, like, putting him out there. I'm like, that's crazier than Indiana saying they're going to get him.
I could believe Indiana more than I could believe,
yeah.
Reno.
Oh my gosh. So, what about, okay, let's get Fresno State situation. You hear about Jeff Tedford. I get it was very vague.
He's only out for the bowl game.
I know, so get to it. It was very vague where they said he's stepping down. They didn't say in the main release on Twitter or whatever. It was only for the bowl game until that came out, like, way after. I'm like, wait, is Fresno need a new head coach? Because they were very – they were not clear about what was going on. They say stepping away from the bowl game.
That's what I thought at first.
No, it is. Maybe I read it wrong. But it seemed – it did. It made it seem like it might have been more permanent than just he's going to not coach the bowl game and get better. So that kind of puts me in a spot where is he going to be around after next year? Could he still retire or step down this year? Because this would be – would this be the third time he'd have health issues? Because last time at Fresno State, that's what he mentioned. Did he mention that at Cal before?
I don't remember.
I know it would be at least twice. At least, obviously, this time is temporarily. But this could be a spot where this job could open up because if he's having health issues now, I'm not saying push him away or I'm not saying that. No, I'm not. This is not what I'm getting at in any shape or form. But for his health to be – to live a good life the rest of his time. Like, who needs the stress of being a college football coach when this is the second time you're having personal health concerns? Go enjoy your life. Like, there's no reason. Like, as texting, well, I won't say this. I can't get that. Sorry. I was going to say something I should not divulge at the moment. But your older coaches who want to come back and coach, like, if you're 65 plus, 70 plus, I'm like, dude, just retire and chill. Just don't. There's no reason to. And this, honestly, this is probably the beginning of the end for Tedford. Like, not to be rude or anything, but if you have health issues, take care of that stuff. He's having Tim Skipper be the interim coach. But why? This is where Fresno State probably should be looking for a new coach within the next two seasons. Am I being too harsh on this?
No, I mean, it's probably too, like, how old is Tedford? Like 70-something?
No, he's 62. Let me double check. Yeah, 62. He's not super old, but he's getting up there.
If this is health issues and this multiple stops, yeah.
At least two. At least the two at Fresno. I'm looking around from Cal, but it doesn't look like it. But take care of yourself, dude. Like, do one more year or something or whatever. If it's hopefully it's minor, it's nothing crazy. But this clearly probably, like, they need to be preparing next 2 years for the future for this guy. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to look out for the guy. Like, there, you could get a good coach at Fresno. And so, I don't know. Anything else to add about the championship game? We got bowl stuff coming up tonight. We'll have that up on the website. Anything else we need to get to, Josh, we missed about championship game? Any surprise coaching search you want me to be mad about right now?
No, those were the only two.
Okay, just, what was it? Not Gonzalez. Vincent Davis, ULM, and
Brandon UTEP.
No, don't. Marion, please.
To be fair, it's only interviewing.
I know. He's going to get interviews. Look, let's talk about the UNLV job really quick. Barry Odom. Is he going to stick around for one more year? Is he going to go anywhere that's worthwhile?
I mean, unless it's a surprise, it seems like he's staying.
Like, what? If we look at jobs that are open, like, Signetti took Indiana from James Madison. He's not going to go anywhere within the conference. Like, he's not going to Boise State or Nevada or anything. West Coast jobs, they're all occupied at the moment. You have UTEP, obviously, that's open. You have Oregon State filled their job. That's right. You mentioned ULM. Missouri's not going anywhere. Arkansas's Pittman's on his last leg, fighting, bringing in Super Bobby Petrino. Good, great. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad UNLV didn't bring him in. Like, I'm glad he, or glad, excuse me, glad he left for Texas A&M. Duke's technically open right now. I think he's going to stick around. I'm trying to think. Any other big jobs, biggest jobs are missing? Any, like, jobs that are better than the conference they're in?
Probably not, but did you see who Arizona State is looking to hire as their offensive coordinator?
No, what are they up to?
Marcus Arroyo.
Why would Kenny Dillon have wanted to do that? I'm just putting it out there. Like, what is going on? Why? Well,
so does Barry Odom go to Tulane? That job just opened up.
Is Fritz officially in Houston?
Yeah, that got announced this morning.
Isn't their quarterback leaving now, finally?
I don't remember.
I would... Here's why I would stay. And this is not us being over. Here's the legit reason why I stay. You have resources there, and they've already put money in when they brought in Tony Sanchez, the high school coach for Bishop Gorman. They were building under Arroyo, which this might be a bold take. I think if they kept Marcus Arroyo, the team would be about the same they were this year, relatively. They'd be about what they were this year, I think. Close to it. They would have been a bowl team, probably 7-8 wins, maybe not to 9, what they were now, championship game contenders caliber, but I think they would have easily been to a bowl game if they kept Arroyo. I felt that firing last year was, could have gone 50-50. I would have been like, I was always saying like 51-49, keep him there, because it could have gone either way. I would have been fine if he would have stayed. But I think with young players, young quarter, I know Ricky White's probably gone. If they keep these guys around who they have on offense and Brendan Marion stays for one more year, I don't see why not. They could be in the conversation to go for the conference championship next year.
I mean, it's possible.
So with the jobs that are opening, and he's already done Missouri, he's done a big-time coaching. He probably at some point wants to get back there. He's like mid-40s. I don't know exactly what he'd want in his next type of job if he's even looking for that. But I would say it seems like he was going to stay one more year until the NFL makes their coaching changes, right? until Jim Harbaugh goes to the Raiders, is that what we're waiting for?
Chicago.
Oh, okay. There's Chicago or the Raiders are the two teams mentioned the most because he played for the Bears and was an assistant at the Raiders. But yeah, he's Midwest guy, Missouri. So I don't know if. Not that he'd go to Michigan. That would be a weird hire. You got the UNLV head coach? What's going on? But it could have ripple effect. But I would put it 87% he stays this year for another season at UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, unless something crazy opens up.
Which it always does, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Anything else to add here? We should wrap it up now before we get to our bull stuff next week. No, we should
wrap it up. Sorry. I'm reading the Sickos Committee post. Sorry.
And, it's okay. They're great.
The Utah State to the Potato Bowl.
Is that official?
That's why I'm not positive. It's like it says, it appears Utah State is going to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Shout out to this Aggie fan. Raw potatoes in the stands the last time they went.
Oh, that's the reason I want it. See, I'll do this real quick. I put up some bowl projections really quick this morning. And they'll probably be half of them wrong because ESPN owns the majority of these bowls and they'll be flips and swaps. So here's what I put. You can tell me if you yes or no. New Mexico Bowl, Fresno versus New Mexico State. That'd be interesting, right?
New Mexico State versus Fresno, you said?
Yeah.
In the New Mexico Bowl, yeah, I think that's Ryan said. Yeah, it's either Wyoming or Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl against New Mexico State.
And then LA Bowl is going to be Boise, probably. I'm so glad it's likely UCLA, not Cal. However, Dante Moore may not play to enter the portal, so that'll be interesting.
He's already in the portal.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a KJ Jefferson situation. And the portal, we'll watch for that Monday. That's going to be crazy, too. Then Frisco Bowl, and I'm keeping the bowl lineups the Mountain West basically has because it's too hard to make guesses about going to some in the bowl that there's no tie-in, which it could be. I put Wyoming, Texas State in the Frisco Bowl down in Texas.
Yeah.
Potato Bowl, Utah State versus Ohio. Mm-hmm. Armed Forces Bowl, Air Force versus Marshall.
Okay.
And then already confirmed Hawaii Bowl, which Grayson McCall's in the portal and he's been injured, so that kind of sucks. But San Jose State versus Coastal. And then you got, uh-huh. I put UNLV versus Toledo in the Arizona Bowl, which I think would be very exciting. Two conference runner-ups. However, that means we have to actually maybe watch the broadcast, Josh, and that's a problem.
I mean, it's on the CW.
I know, so but it's not... but it's the same people.
Yeah, I'm still not going to watch anyway.
I know. I got to figure out what to do. It's like, well, I don't want to get into that stuff, but it's people are just like, no. We saw the basketball thing earlier this year. Not a thing. All right, we'll wrap it up now. Well, bowl lineups tonight. We'll see how that goes. Most likely, depends if you're listening to it, but Sunday afternoon, probably Sunday evening, all the bowl stuff will come out. Because I believe at this moment, is the college football playoff show still going on, Josh, at 12:30 Mountain Time?
Yes. There's another hour and a half of it.
Oh, my goodness, no. Oh, my goodness. But follow us on Twitter, MWC Wire. We'll retweet stuff and share stuff for bowl projections or bowl finalizations, I should say. So check us out. We'll be back. We'll have to find out more back, Josh, talk more about the bowl games and bowl matchups. Maybe early next week we'll figure things out to chat with everybody about it. But we'll see everybody next time. And again, MWWire.com. Go check it out. And we'll have a good, bowl announcement day. Is that what we call this now, Josh?
All right, hold on. We have our first
official... What do we got here? Breaking news. What do
we got? According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Georgia State will play Utah State in the Potato Bowl.
Okay. All right, then. I'll update that here. All righty. So Utah State versus Georgia, a Sun Belt team. So not a MAC team, which is typically the case.
That's not Clay Helton, is it? Clay Helton is
Georgia
Southern.
He's one of the Georgias.
Yeah, he's Georgia Southern, not Georgia State. Damn. That would have been fun.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to see here. Yeah, Georgia State to play Utah State in the bowl game. All right, we'll be on that. So there's your first bowl matchup, and I guess one of the first that's coming through all day Sunday. So that's retweeted right now on MWC Wire, and check everything else out there. And now we'll see you next time with bowl announcements later this week. See you, folks.